Welcome to this meeting of the Mayor and Denver City Council. At this weekly session, city agencies brief the mayor and council members on various proposals and projects across the city. This meeting of the Mayor and City Council members begins now. Thank you.
Councilwoman Lewis. This weekend is Pride Fest. We have one of the largest Pride celebrations, I would say in the country, but obviously in the Rocky Mountain West. It's our 55th anniversary for Denver Pride. This year, as Councilmember Lewis and I did a proclamation last night, is of even greater importance because of what we're facing from the federal government and a whole host of factors. So come out to a family-friendly community celebrated event this Saturday and this Sunday. Thank you so much to the Center, One Colorado, for once again leading, I think, the best event in June. Thank you so much, Madam President.
Nice, thank you. Any other announcements? All right, so I don't have what's next. I guess we have a presentation from the Mayor's Youth Commission. So should we get started on that?
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for having us here. My name is Rebecca Sears, and I am the Policy Director of the Office of Children's Affairs.
I'm Kim Schultz. I'm the Associate Director of Shawn Kids Disability.
I'm Austin Collins. I'm the Mental Health Administrator.
We're here to talk to you today about some of the program updates and a little bit of an overview of what the Mayor's Youth Commission is and what we're working on making it be for the 2025-2026 program year, which will kick off in September. We run a program year that runs September through May to align with the school year for our young people. And it's a really exciting time, I think, for our young people to be more involved in city work and just activism and advocacy more broadly. And this is a really great group of young people. And we're really excited to share with you these opportunities because I do think that it has a lot of tie-in for the work that City Council will be doing this year and beyond. So our vision for the Mayor's Youth Commission is based around these four pillars. We really want to bring youth insights and youth perspectives, youth voices into everything that we do as a state and all we do. And as we talk about our work as a city more broadly, we try to bring in a diverse group of young leaders who are active in the community, and who also are just really passionate about making Denver the best place to live for children and their families. We want to give youth an opportunity to learn how their city functions, both from the insides and the guts and the things that maybe as policy-wonky people are find really interesting. I'm always surprised at how many 15-year-olds want to just understand zoning processes. They're just so fascinated with things like that. And I'm just like, shouldn't you be playing football? We really also want to make sure that our youth are developing leadership skills. We attract a lot of young leaders who have an inclination for being leaders in their classrooms and in their schools. We want to give them opportunities to hone those skills, grow them, and become even better equipped leaders as they move on beyond high school and into the workforce. And then again, one thing that we really are proud of is we have some great adult commissioners who build those authentic relationships with our youth, who build rapport with young people, providing other adult mentors that they can go to about commission-related work in their service projects, or sometimes it's help figuring out how to get on the right career pathway and set them up for that post-secondary education plan that they have.
We know that young people are not just future leaders, they are the experts in their own lived experiences. And their insights are critical to creating effective, inclusive city policies. This really goes really hand in hand with what we committed to become a child-friendly city. We already have a great foundation to start that. We already have a youth commission. Now what we want to do is build on that and invite youth to be part of decision-making. And what would real inclusion look like when we really gather young people's voices around the table and help us be in partnership with them? That's one of the things that we're really looking forward to doing is that. One of the things that we have done in our updates for recruitment and selection is we want every district to be represented. So we have worked really hard on recruitment, working with our community-based organizations that work with young people, really networking. Even some of you all have put our online messaging in your newsletters, and we appreciate that. And too often in youth spaces, even with the most well-intended ones, end up reflecting a narrow slice of young people, those with access, those with more time and support to participate. And we know that youth experience is not just a one-size-fits-all. So we want the Youth Commission, we want every member to bring a different lens to the commission to really make the work really successful and really drive home the work that we're doing. And the other thing that we're really focused on is effective adult mentors. We really are looking for people with lived experiences that will share that with our youth mentors. We want them to bring their networks. We know that many people have great networks out there. We want them to share those experiences with our young people. And we want some people to bring in their professional experiences as well to really drive home the work that we're doing. So that's what we are really focused on for this next school year in the commission.
As you guys will see, you'll notice, you'll hear a common theme. We're definitely talking a lot about networks, you know, tapping into those leaders that exist within the city and then also community. As far as leadership development, that's definitely one of our tenets that we hold every single year for the Mayor's Youth Commission. Leadership skill development, as you all know, takes many different forms. Some of that's kind of increasing public speaking skill opportunity, bringing in different leaders within the community to showcase other skills. Sometimes it's just communication, right? It's teaching these young folks when and how to communicate appropriately to what different types of groups, as well as their peers. City and industry leader engagement. So this is a big part, is making sure people know of NYC, making sure that you have opportunities to talk with different industry leaders. Again, tapping into the network of the adult commissioners that are in the room, as well as some of the alumni that have served on the commission. And knowing that a lot of them are still within the city, different agencies, different capacities, so really making sure that they're helping to lead and bring these youth along as they lead. Experiential learning opportunities. Youth have been vocal of this is important. This is something they want to see. This could be going to different rec centers. This could be doing service learning projects in the community, going to newer community hubs that are popping up within there. We're just making sure that these youth kind of see the full expanse geographically of Denver and understand the different issues, problems, concerns, solutions that Denverites have come up with. And then peer city partnerships. So we've recently been in discussion with Boston. They've been amazing. They have a youth empowerment and advancement office, which is exceptional and has recently started. Excuse me. So that's a great partnership. It just gives us an opportunity to learn what they've done, what they're doing currently, and how we can really tap into what they're doing and use some of those processes and systems within Denver. And then greater impact. So these are three things that we're really trying to dig in for this next year. Citywide advisorships. Essentially, we've come up with different terms. We've looked at kind of liaisons. The way this would work is kind of knowing that we have so many different agencies within the city, making sure that we're having that consistent communication with different people within those agencies. So it's not those kind of one-off requests, but rather different people within each agency know of the NYC, and they know it's a consistent body they can go to for feedback, for insight, and things like that. And then conduit to and from the community. Again, this is just making sure that we are tapping into youth perspective. We know that the three of us are not social media experts. I would say that the youth are much more adept at kind of managing and doing things like that. And so, they're experts in that field. So that's really something where we should kind of tap into that. We should utilize those skills as a way to, where they're actually communicating out to their peers, to their public, to the schools that they go to. So that's something we're going to dig into. And then the final thing I'll say is participatory budgeting. So I know CPD has, the people's budget. They've been involved with NYC and really making sure that we, as the youth are kind of developing those leadership skills, they understand the budgeting process behind that, and they feel like they have a voice within that process. And so that's something we're really looking
at. All right, lastly, our call to action. Help recruit. That is the big one, right? We want representation from all districts. You guys received an email back in the end of May, beginning of June from Rep with all the information to put out, so we can resend that out to all of your offices just to help push that out. The next is come and meet the commissioners. On 9/17, you guys will be getting a calendar hold for an event. We'll be taking some professional photos in front of the city and county building of our young commissioners. And then we'd love to do a meet and greet in this building where you guys get an opportunity to meet all of the young people, especially the ones that are going to be serving and representing your district as well. Also, we want you to think about bringing your policy ideas to them for their insights. So what we are going to do is we are going to be strategic and inviting and making space for you all to come connect with the commissioners over the next school year. And so we want you to come bring your policy ideas to them and how to engage them in a really authentic way so their voice can be seen and heard in really a really natural way. And the last thing is build a relationship with your commissioner that is representing your district. Like I said, we're going to create opportunities for you all, and then we would like you all to consider thinking when you're making decisions on behalf of your district, like, hey, maybe I should reach out to my youth commissioner. How do I engage them in this process? We'd really like us to start thinking differently. We know that's like a small change in what we are doing and how it's been operating in the past, but that's kind of our ask and our call to action for all of you. So I just want to say thank you for letting us come here today and present. We are really excited about the work that the Mayor's Youth Commission is going to do this next school year, and we just appreciate your ongoing support to the work that we're doing. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Council President, for kicking us off. Thank you for a great presentation. Excited to jump in for questions. I have Councilman Hines, SGG. I have basically everybody. I will start with Councilman Gonzalez-Gutierrez.
Councilman Hines.
Right.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, SGG. Thanks for the presentation. How many commissioners do you have?
We have 20 youth who serve on the commission. They serve a three-year term, and then we have 8 adults who also serve a three-year term.
Okay, the photo had 22. I guess maybe there were a couple of adults there.
A couple of us younger looking folks up here might be.
Did you count that?
I did, yeah. well, I was wondering how many commissioners there are. You're talking about you want representation from each district. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you have multiple commissioners from some districts and some you're lacking?
Yeah, I would say that it's a great question, and I think that's a focus that we have this year that we're being even more intentional about. I would say structurally, based on how the Youth Commission is set up in the municipal code, there's no real requirement that we have, you know, council district equity across the district, but we do try to spread out where our commissioners are coming from. We want representation from different schools, different neighborhoods, and obviously we want to represent the full breadth of all of what Denver's youth are. And I think that there are some real challenges to doing so that we're working on addressing this year. We're really targeting recruitment in a different way so that we are hitting neighborhoods that we have historically have had a harder time recruiting from. And so far we're seeing some progress in that space, but we still have a ways to go.
And then you mentioned a fair amount of being interested in leaders, city leaders that could help educate and mentor some of the youth. I'm hoping that this is a two-way street, right? You mentioned social media. I want to stop getting owned in Fortnite, so teach me that as well. But I mean, it's a two-way street.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yes, please. I mean, our youth commissioners want to be engaged in every way possible with the city, with leaders. They want to have connections with you all, and we're going to try to do a better job this year. We will do a better job this year of connecting them with y'all. They're experts in their experience and what it's like to be a young person. I can no longer say that I have that experience, and I was a high school teacher to even extend that time. And they are happy to, you know, if you have information coming out of your council office that you want communicated to young people, they are ready to mobilize their social media following. They are hesitant to do TikTok dances, is what we've learned, but they are happy to use their platforms to help spread the word. That helps get their friends connected to services, resources, and events that would be beneficial to them.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, Councilwoman Gonzalez-Gutierrez.
Thank you. This is exciting that this is getting brought back up again. A couple of things I know in my previous work in Denver with kids and families and partnering with OCA and like Denver Public Safety Youth Programs, I know that I kind of heard you talking about one, like representation, two, those youth that are, you know, already kind of on that path of leadership and helping to promote those kinds of values and skills. What about the youth that we know are leaders, but maybe aren't making the best choices? Mm-hmm. Is there a space for them?
There is a space for them. And that's what I talked about, like connecting with our community-based organizations. Those are the folks that are working directly with the young people in our communities that are doing fantastic work. I mean, I came from a nonprofit here in Denver working with youth. And I think those are the partners that have really leaned in very hard to be very intentional about our recruiting. So I've had multiple just one-on-one conversations with organizations. I've met with some young people one-on-one just to like help them understand, right, that we want you to be part of this. Your voice is important. I will say One of the drawbacks that we have is the three-year commitment. And so we've talked about how that can be some fluid there of like a 1-to-year. We also talked about how there is transportation barriers. There are other barriers, and I'm trying to meet youth where they're at and work through like a path to rhythm. So we've been really on the ground is really what I'm trying to,
That's great. Thank you so much. And I was reading online, and because it says like it's required to attend all meetings, and I'm thinking about like I have two teenagers, and they are busy like most of the week, right, with activities and things like that. So there are young people who might have a bunch of things going on, whether it's they're playing sports or maybe they have to go to therapy. So just wondering, hopefully there's some flexibility around that, because having gone through like some of these programs as a youth, and they're so rigid, and then they kick you out because you miss one day.
And I can speak of that too. That's something that we've spent, the three of us spent a lot of time thinking about. And so we're also changing that as well. That language needs to be changed on the website eventually. But when we meet with the youth, we're going to have them just plan 1 month ahead. So our meeting in September, they're just going to tell us if they're going to be able to make it in October. And that's where we're going to just stop. And then the next month, right, they'll just tell us if they can make it to the meetings the next month. So we're going to allow more flexibility because, right, youth are busy. They do, might have other jobs, other commitments, right, other siblings that they need to go pick up or emergency and help out. And so we want to be respectful of that. So that language we're also changing internally. So I appreciate you calling that out.
Thank you. And then my last thing that I just wanted to point out is when I clicked on the application, it is the general boards and application boards and commissions application. And you probably already know what I'm going to say is that if I was a teenager and I had to answer this question, is there anything that would adversely affect public confidence in your appointment of service? I don't know if I would know how to answer that. And then the second part of that is the background check piece. I am curious about what does that involve, and what is it that is there any criteria as it relates to background check that you all are looking at, or like criteria that you wouldn't allow a young person to serve on this commission?
Sure, I can speak to that pretty briefly. So that's definitely something we noticed and we've heard from commissioners. So we've created a kind of like a Google interest form as the initial way for youth to kind of say that they're interested. And then what we do as an office is reach out to them, let them know what's expected, you know, what they should commit to, things like that. And really just try to have a conversation with them and see if it's the right fit. So that we found that to be pretty successful as to date. Today we have 134 youth that have gone that way, and then we have 34 applicants that have filled that out completely. And then as far as the background check, I'm not quite sure what that background looks like specifically, but I do know I think the boards and commissions office helps to navigate that.
Okay, I would love follow up on that, because when we're talking about youth, there's some interesting things that happen to our young people and how they find themselves involved in different systems. And so I'd be curious to know what those limitations are.
Yeah, and we would like to eliminate all barriers. So, yes.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, I have Councilman Watson and Councilmember Lewis.
I was going to say, I've been smiling since you began your presentation. I think what an amazing amount of work the three of you do, and especially your youth leaders. And I'm thinking of all of the opportunities. Now, you are not on my radar, I have to say, unfortunately. And I know that Dwight Clark is in the audience for my team, and he's going to be sending you an email. We do have some legislation we want to definitely put before y'all pretty quickly. My question to you is, what's the span of age for your youth leaders?
Yeah, our youth leaders are 14, 18. Basically, once you enter high school, you're we have like kind of a soft term out when you graduate high school, move on from your secondary education into the next level. And that's mostly been because kids are just, you know, off doing college or off on their next journey. But 14 to 18 typically.
And where are you normally identifying youth from? I know you're asking us for support, but where are the spaces in which you are generating interest from youth leaders?
It's pretty vast. This year we've tried to look everywhere. So we're going to a lot of like DPL sites, DPR sites, kind of just community places within all neighborhoods. Sometimes we send that out generally to the agency. Sometimes we're actually going to the branches, going to the youth places within the branch. We are going to a lot of alumni network for NYC. And then also looking at, you know, OST, out of school time, we have a lot of providers that are on there. So we look at a lot of community-based orgs that have an existing relationship with us as well.
The other thing that I'll add is DPS sent it out as well to all schools. Yeah.
Excellent. Look forward to partnering with you. I got to share a quick anecdote. When I grew up in the Virgin Islands, I was honored to be on the governor's youth, whatever they called it. I think they thought that as a 13-year-old, I was just going to come to the meetings with the tourism board and just sit and smile and be happy. And we put forward a proposal for increasing curriculum within our schools on tourism. Most of our young people leave the island after we graduate. And I thought it made sense for us to have a curriculum in high school so that we can get jobs working on the island. And some of that program still exists. And so I think the work that youth leaders can do, and based on your leadership and support of them, can have a lasting impact in Denver. So I can't wait to lean in on this with you. Thank you.
Thank you. For clarification, you mentioned 3-year commitment. Folks can still apply as juniors or seniors, or can they only apply as freshmen and sophomores?
They can absolutely apply as juniors and seniors. We encourage it. That's great. We usually only serve 1-year terms, but they've added a lot to you. But that's why that 18 years is kind of where they naturally term off, even if it's not required by the code.
Councilwoman Lewis.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your work in this presentation. I have something that's top of mind because something occurred in my district that was evolving around a bunch of youth who had gathered in Northfield, yes, in my district, and there was some damage. But I think what I want to share with you and what I'd like to inquire about is the youth have kind of organized themselves, and I can appreciate that as an organizer, not the other half of that. I can appreciate their organization, but they have plans to come back together on, and you feel free to write these dates down, July 10th at Elitch Gardens, Lakeside on July 11th, and this is Aurora, if you all want to travel that far, on July 12th at 3 p.m. And then there's also one, you'll love this, Sydney Park on June 28th. And the reason I say that is because you all talked about the community hubs, but it sounds like the youth are just gathering themselves in the way in which they know how to organize. And it feels like a great opportunity to tap into the places that they're already gathering in an attempt, at least, to not see some of the challenges that we saw in my district over the weekend. And so just wanted to elevate that for you all. I also had an inquiry as to you mentioned earlier in your presentation that there were districts that were not well represented in the past and that you all have looked to resolve that. And so I was just kind of curious as to what did it look like and what does it look like now in terms of that underrepresentation.
Sure. Historically, you know, I don't know if I can speak to that as much, maybe Rhett can, but I know currently we've definitely seen a lot more. So right now we don't have any applications from District 1, 2, or 3. So we've seen a lot more from those remaining 8 districts. And then intentionally we're trying to reach out across the board as well as just strategically to those districts.
Yeah, and I say this from a place of love, and I hope you all receive it from that place, but I've found with programs like these that they often capture the students who are going to be okay anyways, because they know how to navigate systems. They know, their parents typically are folks who are sending them into these programs because they know the benefits. But I think the students that we saw over the weekend are, I think, the students that we actually want to capture in this, because those are natural leaders. They're organizing each other. They're using the social media, as you all have said, and they've gotten people to come out, whether it's for the good or the bad. But if they can get folks to turn out, I think we should probably figure out, like, how do we coalesce that energy into something that can move our youth and our city forward. So thank you all.
Real quick, just do you have times for the other dates?
Sorry. No, you're fine. You're totally fine.
It's all on social media.
It's all on social media. Okay.
I'll send them.
Okay. Thank you.
And one other thing I'll say, we have some of the contact information up there. I will text and reach out to youth, and I've spent time just helping a youth kind of go through a portal. I can tell who's struggling to get the commission application done, so gave them a call. So we'll really work with them. If they're putting in that work, we'll help them out.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to thank you. So exciting, this increased agreement, intentionality on how we're dealing with the Youth Commission. You know, for a long time, I thought that City Council should have a Youth Commission, and then realized that the duplication didn't make a lot of sense. This kind of hybrid approach, I think, really is going to achieve a great deal as far as our ability to interact with the kids along the way. And I really appreciate it. Councilwoman Lewis's comment about that. You know, I've long thought so many, you know, that you hear some schools are rated better than others, but for some kids, doesn't matter what school they go to, they're going to get the best because their parents are going to be all over it. They have the time and the inclination and the previous programming to do that. But so many kids don't start from that point of view. And I think it really does, I think it's important for us to help lift them up. So I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Councilwoman Sawyer.
Oh, thank you. Couple of times when you were talking, you mentioned the ordinance. Is that something we need to update? It sounds like maybe there are a couple of things that need to get changed in there. So curious whether that is work we could partner on, whether that is something you're doing already that we should expect to see soon.
Yeah, that's a great question. I really appreciate you asking it. I think there are really some opportunities within the ordinance that we've discussed for a long time that we think would be useful updates, especially to give us the structural support to make this the best and most robust youth voice apparatus for not just OCA, but for the city as a whole. So would love to work with your office and city council, obviously, on any of those updates, but we do think that there are some opportunities there.
Right. Okay, good to know. Thanks. Second question for you is around remote participation. So just curious whether you allow remote participation. I can tell you I have kids, some of whom can drive, some of whom cannot drive, and there is no way my kids are getting to a youth commission meeting if I have to drive them. So just gonna be real here. So I'm just curious what, like, do you allow Zoom participation or, you know, it's not, kids are used to Zoom. It's not hard for them.
Yeah.
And it sometimes might be the only way they can get there.
I think that's a great question. I think you just stumbled on the core tension that we've had with the Youth Commission for probably since the pandemic. I was a teacher during the pandemic, so I am personally adverse to all things video conference, but I do. There is such a huge value of getting people in the room. We were doing kind of a hybrid system kind of coming out of the pandemic, and it was the youth who decided they wanted to be in the room together to build that community and that kind of connection together. So we listened to them and we shifted all of our meetings in person. We'll have a new cohort coming in who might feel differently. So I do think it's something that we're constantly evaluating. For now, we plan on meeting in person because that's what our previous cohorts have decided.
Interesting. Okay, great, thanks.
Thank you so much. Any other questions from members who didn't get to ask them? I've gotten the chance to spend a lot of time with this amazing team and the youth that they pulled together, really excited about the curriculum you're putting together, as Councilman Cashman said. The way you're thoughtful about how to both develop their skills, expose them to leadership opportunities, educate them about the city and how things work, and really rely on their voices to inform decisions, I think are really powerful opportunities for us. And so we're so grateful for all your work. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to give you a round of applause because we're here. I'm going to grab a quick photo with you all before you leave. Right here. That is our only item on our public calendar. I will now entertain a motion to move us into an executive session pursuant to DRMC 234A, sections 3, 6, and 7 for the purpose of receiving legal advice and discussing potential settlement of pending litigation against the city.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we will now enter into executive session. Thank you so much, members of the public who joined online or in person.